buying right gives you the option to flip the property or hold it. Options keep you from making ill-informed decisions. There are three main points of distress. 1. Market distress. 2. Personal distress. 3. Property distress. Most fixer-upper properties will be found by targeting property distress. If a property will rent for 1% of the purchase price every month, it is likely to cash flow. If you are all in for 75% of the ARV, you will likely recover 100% of your capital. Multifamily properties are valued based on their NOI and the capitalization rate of the area. You improve their value by improving their NOI. Single-family homes are valued based on comparable sales in the surrounding area. You improve their value by improving their desirability and condition. My three main criteria for buying a property are 1. Equity in it. 2. Positive cash flow. 3. No headaches or bad neighborhoods. There are 5 inputs that go into analyzing most deals. 1. Rent. 2. Mortgage amount. 3. Tax. 4. Insurance. 5. Property management. Your core 4 is made up of 1. Deal finder. 2. Lender. 3. Contractor. 4. Property manager. Rock stars know rock stars. Get in touch with one rock star and you'll meet others in their world. There are 3 numbers you must be able to crunch to know if a property will make money. 1. Acquisition cost, price to buy. 2. Rehab cost. 3. ARV. Cash is king. If you can put together a cash offer or its equivalent, it will be much stronger than competing offers. Look for properties that require a cash offer. You will find better deals by eliminating your competition. Chapter 3. How to find deals. You get everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what they want. Zig Ziglar. So far, we've touched on some basic ways you can find deals. These are the fundamentals of deal finding, and once you master them, you are on your way to success. Success is important, but it's not all we want. We want mastery. I'm going to share some ways you can take these fundamentals and leverage them to produce success along with real estate mastery. Remember, it's repetition that creates mastery. These methods were developed because time and time again, I would use them, find out what worked and what didn't, and then adjust my technique to make it more effective. This happened because I embraced the Burr technique and committed myself to real estate investing. By putting time in, I created systems and methods that would help increase my success, leveraging other people to save me time and make me money. As you read these tips, make note of how this would apply in your own life, who you already know that could help you with these, and what you can do to start taking action. MINS, M-I-N-S, is an acronym that stands for Most Important Next Step. Every one of these methods is something that will find you deals and ultimately make you money. If you want to be successful, get in the habit of asking yourself, what is my most important next step toward executing this technique? And write down the answer. By breaking big tasks, in other words, finding an agent on a top-producing team, into smaller ones, search Zillow.com for top agents with teams. Email the team leader. Ask for agents to interview. Then come up with a list of questions for the agent, etc. You can make it much easier on yourself to come up with a strategy to start taking action. The MINS funnel is a great way to go about doing this. The following are some of my tried and true techniques for finding deals. As you read them, ask yourself what you can do to start applying these techniques today. If you're not ready yet, make a list or bookmark this page so you can come back to it when you're ready to start looking for deals. Remember to break these tasks down into smaller, more manageable tasks when it's time to get started. What's your most important next step? All about agents. Having an agent looking for deals for you is great. Having several is even better. By seeking out multiple agents, you'll be able to tap into different networks with sources that you can use to find great deals. Sometimes they even specialize in certain types of real estate, so you can expand your knowledge by expanding your network. And when you expand your knowledge, you'll create better wealth-building opportunities for yourself. Some agents can find you a condo, others multifamily property, and others single-family property. There may be some agents who network with investors and hear about deals before they hit the market, while others network with attorneys and know about sellers in distress due to divorce or death. There are tons of agents out there who have different specialties. What's important to understand is that diversifying the people you talk to will increase the reach of your network, and increasing the number of connections you have will help you find more and more new deals. Doing both puts you in a much stronger position. The thing to understand about networking isn't that you're finding more people. It's that you are connecting with people in your sphere of influence, who have their own unique sphere of influence as well. Networking is gaining access to new spheres and making them a part of your own. The more of these spheres you can work yourself into, the more likely you are to start finding what you want. This is how you create an army of people advocating for your success. For those who don't work in real estate professionally, the whole agent with a team thing can seem confusing. Every agent sets their teams up differently. And when you are on the outside of a transaction looking in, it can be hard to understand what the point of the whole team thing even is. The idea behind a team is an agent who is doing so much business they can't keep up with demand. Rather than turn business away, or worse, do shoddy work, agents will hire people to help assist them and their clients. This starts off small, with hiring admin help, and can eventually grow to, you guessed it, a full-fledged team. Some agents end up hiring other agents to work with their buyers. We, as buyers, take up the most time, flake the most often, and make the least amount of money for the agents, and eventually even their sellers. The reason I prefer an agent with a team is because I am much more likely to find that the things I need are already in place. The first is, if an agent has so much business they needed to hire staff to keep up, they are much more likely to be a top-producing agent. Top-producing agents not only have more connections, but usually have more experience. Experience matters in the world of real estate. You can build that experience for yourself, and you will, but why wouldn't you want to leverage other people's experience as well? Remember how I said repetition builds mastery? Well, top-producing agents who sell a lot of homes get more reps in than agents who don't. This doesn't guarantee they'll be better, but it does make it much more likely that they'll be more skilled, more experienced, and better equipped to help me. Typically, the more someone does something, the better they get at it. Real estate sales is no exception. The next reason I prefer an agent with a team is because if an agent is a top producer, they are usually talented. And talent draws talent. Rock stars know rock stars, right? If this is true, talented agents are likely to only select talented agents to be on their team. This increases my odds of getting a tenacious, knowledgeable, talented person working on my behalf. These are the kinds of people I want to surround myself with to help me find deals and to teach me more about real estate in their market. The third reason for the team-clad agent is because of the network they provide. I'm desperate to get connected to the contractors, lenders, and property managers of a top-producing agent who works with investors or invests themselves. The problem is, an agent who leads the team likely doesn't have the time to take on new clients, especially an investor client who is going to be needier than a traditional client. By finding an agent with a team and working with one of their buyer clients, I can often tap into the network of the top producing agent without needing to work with the agent personally. I can often tell the buyer's agent I work with to go ask the team leader for questions they don't have the answer to, or for referrals I need that they can't provide. There are several examples of this, but some of the more common things I ask them to do is to ask the team leader, who on the team has a lender that will work with investors? Who can provide a good handyman referral at the next team meeting? Who do they know that can introduce us to wholesalers with good deals? Who is the most experienced person in the office at finding great comps? Do they know a rockstar appraiser we can talk to when we are unsure of the validity of comps? You get the idea. By working with an agent with a team, I am more likely to find a talented buyer's agent to work with me, more likely to get the experience of the agent who started the team, and more likely to find resources that will help me put together the pieces I need to be more successful. This is one more way you can leverage someone else's talent, experience, and network to help you achieve your goals. Calling team leaders and brokers to ask for top talent. Of each technique I'm sharing in this section, this might be my favorite. This method allows you to leverage the knowledge and experience of one of the top talents in an entire market center or brokerage, and use them to save you massive amounts of time while increasing your odds of success in a big way. Every real estate brokerage has someone who runs the office. Different brokerages call this position by different names, but essentially, they do most of the same jobs. Sometimes they are referred to as team leaders, brokers, sales managers, office managers, etc. But they are ultimately the person who knows the agents in the office and helps keep things running smoothly. Now, because these positions are in charge of making sure the office stays profitable, they are usually compensated based on the performance of the office, or at bare minimum, the overall success of the office. This means these people have a lot of skin in the game, since they are tied to the performance of the office as a whole with regard to their own personal success. People in a position like this are much, much more likely to know who's a rock star and who's just a groupie in their organization. These are the people who keep the books for the office, look at the sales statistics, and know who the top producers are. They are often tasked with keeping the top producers from leaving and trying to train up the bottom-rung performers. What I do to capitalize on this is simple. Step 1. Google the names and numbers of real estate offices in the area I want to invest in. Step 2. Call and ask for the team leader, owner, or office manager. Step 3. Explain my goals to the person I talk to and ask who from the office they would recommend I work with. Step 4. Write down the names and numbers of the recommendations. Step 5. Start calling these agents, likely top producers with experience working with investors, since that's what I said my goals were, and interviewing them to find out who I like the most. Step 6. Start working with the agents who seem like a good fit. I know this seems really simple, but it is so easy and incredibly effective. I'm cutting out all the non-producing agents in the office and only getting the names of the top talent. And not only that, but they are much more likely to have experience working with investors, which is exactly what I wanted. Also, I received the information from the one person in the office with the most to lose if it doesn't work out. If you think about it, this is the same technique we use when analyzing deals. We don't want to look at every deal. We only want to look at the ones most likely to fit our criteria. Makes sense we would use those same principles when searching for someone to find us deals, right? This is a prime example of how mastery in one area of real estate increases your performance in others. Because I learned how to find deals, I put together rock-solid techniques for finding deal finders using the same techniques. All the ways to find agents. I've discussed the benefits of having a top-producing agent in your corner. Now, let's dive into seeking agents out. Here are three best practices to finding the right agent for you. Find agents through other investors. This method can be tricky, but when you pull it off, it's easier than it seems. The hard part is finding an investor that trusts you enough to provide you with their agent's info. When someone is in a scarcity mindset, this can prove to be a challenging task. If you want to find agents through other investors, your best bet is to learn to bring value to them first. Understand when you are asking another investor for an agent they recommend, you are asking them to give up a potential deal that could have gone to them to go to you instead. Understandably, many investors won't feel comfortable with this situation, but others will. The first thing you should keep in mind when asking another investor for an agent recommendation is to make it clear you won't ask for deals to be brought to you before them. The goal isn't to poach deals from other people. It's to be next in line when a deal comes their way and they don't have the funds to buy it. If another investor sees you as a threat, it doesn't make sense for them to share their resources. The next thing to remember is it only makes sense to ask someone for a favor if you've provided value to them. Value doesn't have to be monetary. It can come in many different forms. Value can be provided through friendship, encouraging words, resources of your own they might need, or sharing your knowledge. Sometimes value can be provided through helping them with an area in their business they struggle with that is your strength. No matter what it is, look first for ways to provide value to someone else before asking them for anything. If you feel like the investor has really good resources you'd like to benefit from, consider paying them for any deal you buy from one of their contacts. If you know upfront you'll be paying the other investor $2,500 when you close, you just need to underwrite that amount into the offers you make and ensure the deal still works. It can be easy to focus on the fact you shouldn't have to pay someone else $2,500 for a deal they didn't bring you, but is that in your best interest? If you are going to make $45,000 in equity, would it make sense to lose that to save $2,500? Investors who have established talent already working for them in a specific marketplace can be incredibly powerful allies to have on your side. You should always, always, always look to make friends with these people when getting into a specific market. Just remember that you are their competition, and if you want them to help you, you should be offering to help them first. Becoming someone who is well-known and well-liked makes it much harder for others to tell you no. Learning to do this can make you a lot of money. If this is an area you feel uncomfortable with, or even if you're already good at it, I would recommend you read Dale Carnegie's classic, How to Win Friends and Influence People. This is a book with detailed examples and information on just how to make yourself more likable and make it much easier to get what you want from others. Many of the techniques work incredibly well in the world of real estate investing. Finding agents through lenders, contractors, and property managers. Once you find a rockstar member of your core four, you are often that much closer to finding the other three members as well. Real estate investing is a niche market. It does not represent the majority of real estate sales. It is actually the minority. This means that those of us who make our living or work in this niche know many of the others. It's a bit of an underground world where the same people rub elbows. Because it's such a small world, the lenders who make their money working with investors often know the top producing agents who bring them those leads. If you find a lender who can work with you, there's a good chance they can put you in touch with an agent who can help you find the deals and walk you through the process. Finding one lead will often open up doors to more leads, and so on and so forth. The same goes for contractors. If you are lucky enough to find a contractor with experience working with investors, they probably work mostly with investors. This means they are likely to know the agents those investors work with. It's the agents who are opening the lockboxes to let them in the houses so they can give their bids, the agents who are recommending them to investors, and the agents who are checking on the work for those who are flipping houses and want the progress monitored. If you find a contractor who's good at working with investors, you're likely to find good agents as well as other investors. This can work especially well if the contractors themselves are experienced investors or dabble in it. Consider sharing investing knowledge with the contractors who want to learn more about what happens on the investing side compared to the labor side. Making yourself valuable to them will give them incentive to do the same for you and your business. Lastly, if you find a property manager that does a large amount of business or manages a large number of properties, you are likely to have just found yourself an incredible resource for finding great deals. Property managers like this network with people who are likely to bring them deals. Top producing agents who work with lots of investors are a huge source of deals for them. Property managers sometimes do invest themselves, but their main goal is to find houses to manage. If they can put you in touch with someone who can find properties for you to buy, they can generate income for themselves by managing that property. This creates an incredible and powerful incentive for them to put you in touch with these people, and if they don't know any, to go find some. I can guarantee you property managers, if they are good, have more contacts than most others in the investing world. If they want to find top producing agents for you to use, they will find them. Understanding how things work at a big picture level can help you solve a lot of your small picture problems. Knowing that property managers are motivated to help you find people that can get you deals is a big picture piece of information. Learning how to let them know you want their help connecting you with agents is a small picture solution. Mastering the BRRRR process will force you to learn the big picture. Once you get the big picture, the smaller, more manageable steps become clearer. The more repetitions you get with small picture tasks, the better you get at executing them at a high level. The better you get, the more effective you'll become, and this will lead you to achieving success. With time and experience, you'll also be building your roster of rock stars who can help find and service deals. Eventually, you'll have a booming business generating leads without having to do any work, and that's the goal, right? None of this happens without repetition. And your repetitions will be severely limited using the traditional method instead of the BRRRR method. Finding agents through bigger pockets. This one really isn't a surprise. At least it shouldn't be. If I look at all the agents I work with, the one I work with most is someone I found through biggerpockets.com. If you want to find agents more likely to be experienced working with investors, going to a source known for educating only investors would make a whole lot of sense. There is no location better for this purpose than BiggerPockets. The key to using BiggerPockets to find a good agent is to find an agent who also invests. Too many people make the mistake of finding a traditional agent and expecting them to provide results in a niche market like investing. It doesn't work. BiggerPockets educates more than 1 million investors. This means there will always be vendors hanging around looking to get business from these crowds. Oftentimes, there are wholesalers looking for investors who want to invest in real estate but don't have the guts, time, or determination to learn it for themselves. Obviously, that's not you because you're reading this book teaching you how. But it's not only wholesalers. I've found lenders, handymen, and agents all on the same website. Many times, these people actually found me. If you edit your profile to say exactly what you're looking for, the right vendors know to introduce themselves. If you are active on the forums, asking questions, or on the marketplace stating what your needs are, these vendors can find you and check out your profile. And remember that people you connect with have a network of their own, meaning even more connections for you. If there is one thing I've learned about real estate investors, it's that they like to talk. Tons of research goes into every decision we make, and most people love to sound smart and share this knowledge with others. By simply making friends and asking questions, you're likely to get your answers and learn about more things than you ever expected to from talking to them. Wholesalers. Wholesalers are one of the trickiest methods to finding deals, but can also be one of the best. They are a high-risk, high-reward option. And if you're new to investing, you should highly consider using a real estate agent to help you with your first several processes before using a wholesaler. For those with more experience investing, wholesalers can still be risky in that the word wholesaler is not an official title. They are not licensed, not insured, not governed by any formal body, and not under any legal or ethical obligation to look after your interest. If you plan on using a wholesaler, please check with your local laws or legal counsel to make sure this is a good move for you. Wholesalers are simply people who find a deal, put it under contract, then assign the right to buy that property to someone else by switching the contract to their name. They make their money by finding motivated sellers, negotiating a deal, then finding motivated buyers to assign that deal to. Imagine them as a person who goes to Macy's ahead of you, finds the items that are on clearance, then guards them until you arrive so no one else can buy them. They are paid for finding you a deal on something you want to buy. While you definitely want to proceed with more caution when using a wholesaler than an agent, that doesn't mean you should avoid them. A good wholesaler can get you a tremendous deal with very little from you. Wholesalers' jobs are to find incredible deals and assign them to someone else. This means those that are good at it become highly specialized in that one aspect of the business, get tons of repetitions with it, and therefore are much more likely to master it. What does this mean for you? It means you can get yourself connected with someone who does all the hard work of finding you a great deal so you don't have to. It also means you are much more likely to find a great deal that won't involve a significant rehab compared with the MLS, using an agent for a deal. Remember how I mentioned the three kinds of distress? That applies here. Agents are more likely to find property distress, meaning a big rehab. Wholesalers are more likely to target personal distress, meaning a deal with less rehab. As far as the third method, market distress, you're not as likely to need a wholesaler, as the market itself will usually be providing you with all the deals you need. Although wholesalers can get you incredible deals, there's no guarantee that they know what they are doing or that the information they are providing you with is accurate. Remember, they are not licensed and do not owe you a fiduciary duty of responsibility. The biggest risk with wholesalers is inaccurate information, or in some cases, a complete lie. Most wholesalers sell their deals by providing evidence supporting their claim that the property is a great buy. This evidence usually comes in two forms: comparable property values and estimated rehab costs. With a bad wholesaler, these numbers will be off. Trusting bad numbers can lose you a lot of money. Using wholesalers to find deals is one of my all-time favorite ways to get great buys, but it's also the one method I've used that's burned me the most. I've had cases where wholesalers provide me with inaccurate information regarding the square footage of a home, the number of bedrooms in a house, and the tenant's record of paying their rent on time. I've also had cases where they didn't disclose that the property was in a flood zone or was not zoned for the addition the current owners had constructed. In the end, there was no one to blame but myself for not confirming all this information. I share it with you not to scare you, but to shed light on the reality that if you buy from a wholesaler, proceed with caution. That being said, wholesalers have provided me with some of the best deals I've ever bought. The most important thing to consider when looking for a wholesaler is to find one that's credible. This is where their reputation becomes so important. My advice is to look for credible, trustworthy people, and only get wholesaler referrals from them. I always ask if the person referring me to a wholesaler has worked with them in the past. If so, I ask how the experience went and verify the accuracy of the information. As a general rule, I only want to work with wholesalers who have assigned contracts to someone I know who speaks highly of them. If you're going to make an effort to look for wholesalers, which is a good idea, I strongly recommend you only go to experienced, knowledgeable, strong investors for referrals. My best referrals have come from a property manager who bought properties from them himself, an investor who bought from the wholesaler he recommended, and a contractor who bought houses himself. All three of these were experienced investors who knew what they were doing and could vouch for the validity of the wholesaler, and it worked out great every time. For new investors, keep in mind there is a lot a real estate agent does to help you in a transaction other than finding you the deal. In many ways, this is actually the least important of the services they offer. If you aren't extremely confident in your abilities or skills yet, consider waiting to look for a wholesaler to add to your roster until you've got a couple of transactions under your belt. Alternative methods of finding deals. In addition to the methods I've given you so far, there are several other miscellaneous methods many investors use to find deals I can share with you. While they aren't as common, they are still effective and worth learning. These are the other methods investors use to find deals that aren't talked about as often but still produce big results. Direct mail. Many investors do the work of a wholesaler and look for off-market deals by mailing out "I buy crappy houses" type cards. These cards state you are looking to buy houses in any condition and usually spell out what you can offer: cash, quick close, no realtor fees, no closing costs, etc. The idea is to find interested sellers and convince them to sell to you without finding a realtor first. The key is to find a motivated seller who doesn't care about getting top dollar, doesn't know they could, or values a quick and easy sale over the final dollar amount they'll receive. Many times, these are people with houses in terrible shape who either don't want to go through the hassle of putting it on the market with a realtor or are too embarrassed for someone to see the house in its present condition. Finding a seller like this can be a big score for you. The successful direct mailers will tell you success is achieved through, surprise, repetition. Sending a wave of direct mail isn't likely to get you a result, but sending several waves consistently over time is much more likely to work. Most sellers aren't likely to call you the first time they see your mailer. However, after seeing it over and over and realizing you are a serious business and not a gimmick, they are much more likely to give you a call and see how much you'll pay for their house. Direct mail is simple, too. You can Google popular direct mail designs and get a free phone number through Google so you don't have to use your personal one to receive the calls. There are also services that provide cards for you and will even mail them out to lists you provide them. Then, there are companies who provide these lists. In addition, there are companies who will answer the phones for you and take messages from the sellers. And you can see how it's possible to create an entire business where you do nothing but take the pre-scanned calls from a system that has done all the work for you. SEO. Search engine optimization is a phrase used to describe getting higher results via a search engine. When it comes to investors, this usually means creating a website stating you buy crappy houses, then looking for ways to get that website to rank higher than others in online searches. The goal is to show up higher in a search when someone Googles, "Sell my home in Wichita," or "Fast home sale Denver." Distressed sellers will often search for a solution to their problem online, and you want a presence there where they can easily find you. When done correctly, sellers will end up at a landing page of yours, where they fill out a form giving their contact information for you to follow up with. A landing page is a web page designed to prompt the visitor to fill in their personal information in hopes of being contacted or being provided with your information so they can reach out to you. Having a good website will allow these sellers to find you and either provide their info for you to follow up or reach out to you directly. This works similarly to direct mail, but rather than sending letters, you're making yourself available online. Combining these two methods is a common tactic used by professional wholesalers to find motivated sellers. If you are looking for a similar result, you should be combining them as well. Consider companies like Lead Propeller or Investor Carrot to provide you with ready-made websites intended to increase your SEO and create better conversions on your landing page. Personal networking. A highly effective and often underutilized method is to let everyone know you're looking to buy houses. Telling people these houses can be in any condition or situation is important so they don't avoid sending you the ugly or embarrassing ones. This is a free and simple method that allows you to capitalize on those you know best and are most willing to help you achieve your goals. Better yet, you don't even have to talk to strangers. Some of the best deals I've ever heard of have come from this method. Let your relatives, friends, coworkers, parents on your kids' baseball teams, everyone know you buy property in any condition. If you make this a habit and commit to it daily, you'll find deals start filing in. Professional networking. Similar to personal networking, but different in the sense it involves connecting with people you don't know yet. The key is to find people who are more likely to come across distressed sellers than the average member of society would be. Examples would be divorce attorneys, probate attorneys, bankruptcy companies, and morticians or funeral homes. Make a list of these companies and follow up with them regularly. Similar to what makes direct mail work, you want to continually remind people you are looking for those with a property to sell and you can help them out of a bind. This is a simple and easy plan for success, but has one of the highest margins of success that I've ever seen. Whenever you meet someone, ask what they do and show interest in their chosen vocation. When you sense this person may be likely to come across someone who needs to sell a property, ask for their personal business card and tell them you'd like to stay in touch. Add these people to a database and follow up with them regularly by phone, email, social media, or text messaging. You can use a CRM, Customer Relationship Manager, or a spreadsheet to organize the data. Some CRMs can be purchased for under $35 a month that will organize, systematize, and remind you who to follow up with and when. Many also provide a way to take notes so you can track conversations and get quick reminders before you follow up with your next call. It's not super important what you say during these calls. What's important is how often you connect with these people. Your goal here is to stay top of mind so they don't forget about you when they hear of someone going through a short sale, foreclosure, or trustee sale. This is the exact same system I used to become the top realtor in my office in my first year of full-time work. I created a list of people likely to know someone who would need to sell their house, and I stayed in touch with these people regularly. Use these same principles to grow your investment business, and you'll see the same results. Auctions. Many investors find deals at auctions, and there are many different types to choose from. Typically, we think of auctions as being on the courthouse steps as an auctioneer calls off addresses of homes for sale and excited investors hold up numbered paddles to indicate their interest. This is how some auctions are conducted, but it's not the only way. These are typically foreclosure auctions where banks are trying to sell properties to the public before taking them officially on their books, at which point they would become REO, or real estate owned. Foreclosure auctions like this can provide great deals, but also can be incredibly risky. Most of the properties are sold with no contingencies, cash only, and very little opportunity, if any, to conduct any due diligence. Investors who purchase property this way should be extremely experienced, with a high tolerance for risk, and a solid team of assistants to do title and background research regarding what they are buying. This is a fast-paced environment with little margin for error and very few soft places to land if you make a mistake. Luckily, there is more than one way to buy property at an auction. I myself have bought properties at online auctions where sellers of properties replicate the process of bidding on a property auction style, but the process takes place over several days. This gives the potential buyers more time to do research and make sure it's an investment they are comfortable making. This also takes away the emotional pressure of making a very big decision very quickly with limited information. Looking for online auctions to buy investment properties can be a good way to find deals, especially if you have a solid contractor you can depend on. I've found that the majority of online auctions are selling very distressed properties that need to be cash-only sales. Having a contractor that gives you fair prices and quality work is a must to succeed in this environment. When I bid on a house like this, I have an agent do all the work for me. They look up the comps, get me an ARV, bid for me, and watch the other bidders to see if we've been outbid. If the agent isn't compensated by the auction site, I pay them directly. If they are compensated by the site, I will pay the difference between what the auction site is compensating them and 3% of the purchase price. This way, my agent is motivated to do all the work I need done, and I don't spend too much time on deals I'm not likely to win. Tax liens. Buying properties that owe taxes to the state or county is another form of finding deals many investors don't pursue. While the process varies by region, there are similarities in the general technique. Generally, you are buying the right to foreclose on a house by paying the money they owe in taxes to the government for them. By paying their lien, you are compensated by the government with the right to take the house, the item being used to secure that lien. This is similar to buying a non-performing mortgage note. For more on this, consider reading Real Estate Note Investing by Dave Van Horn. Essentially, the government entity that is owed the taxes has decided they will never be able to collect, or that collection isn't worth the trouble. They are selling off the right to take title to the property to anyone who will pay the taxes owed by the current owner. Not a bad way to find yourself in a great deal. The caveat here is there are different laws that govern how this works in different areas. Some areas give the owners a certain period of time to pay you back the money you paid the government for them, and if they pay it back on time, they can keep the property. Other areas have a time limit before you can actually take over the property. Knowing these laws are essential to having success with this strategy, but the strategy itself is pretty solid and an underutilized way for investors to find great deals. Driving for dollars. Driving for dollars is a method of finding real estate that is hands-on and simple. Just like the name implies, you simply get in your car, or bike, motorcycle, or moped, and look for obviously distressed properties. When you find one, you write down the address and make a note to look up the owner's information. Then, you call or mail the owner and tell them you want to buy their property. Pretty simple, right? When driving for dollars, you want to look for signs that a property is being neglected. This creates a situation where you are far more likely to find an owner that is motivated to want to sell it. Some signs of obvious neglect are an overgrown lawn, newspapers piled up in the driveway, neglected landscaping, dead grass, boarded up windows, rotting wood, a roof with plants growing on it, broken windows. When you see signs like this, make a note of the address. Then find a realtor or title representative with access to public tax records and ask them for the owner's name and mailing address. Sometimes you can find these owners on social media and reach out to them there. If you can't, mail them a letter expressing your interest to buy their property. Or better yet, drive to their home and deliver the letter in person. Receiving a letter in the mail can be annoying for the recipient, but delivering a letter to someone in person puts a face to the name and lets them know how serious you are. Many deals are put together on the foundation of the rapport the buyer is able to build with the seller. Meeting someone in person is a really good way to build that rapport faster. Bird dogs. Bird dog is a slang term for someone who goes and looks for deals for you. Similar to the way a bird dog looks for a bird, the goal of a hunter, your bird dog will be out there on your behalf, looking for you, and doing the things you're unable or unwilling to do yourself. What makes a bird dog successful is how much grit and determination they possess. A bird dog is a great resource to use if you know you don't have the time, patience, or skills to find deals yourself. And actually, bird dogs use many of the techniques I've described in this chapter. Have them read this and find out which areas they think they'll be most successful at, and have them start working on those techniques first. The important thing to know is there are people out there who are so hungry for success, they'll do what it takes to find it. These are the people you want to surround yourself with and grow together. The best partnerships are those where each partner is bringing a different piece to the table, and together you make the full puzzle. And to show your appreciation, you could offer your bird dog part of the deal. Some pay them for their time or give them bonuses when they find a deal. Others use some combination of the three. If you know you have the money, ideas, and resources, look for someone who can provide the time, and you could create a great partnership. Key points. There are so many ways to find deals when it comes to real estate. In my opinion, most investors don't have the success they want because they go about pursuing a deal the wrong way. As you consider these methods, don't feel like you need to use every one. Instead, think about which of these methods works best for your personality, skill set, and abilities. In business, it's always best to double down on your strengths. Once you find a method that works for you, I encourage you to pursue it with tenacity, intention, and perseverance. Master the methods you know work for you. Seek help from those who can do the work you can't or are unable to do. And watch as success is a natural byproduct of that. Use multiple agents to find you deals. Use agents on large, successful teams. Call team leaders and ask who their top talent is for working with investors. Find agents through your core four. Find agents through bigger pockets. Use wholesalers to bring you deals. Use direct mail, professional networking, personal networking, auctions, driving for dollars, and bird dogs to find you deals. Part 3. The Rehab Process. Chapter 4. Rehabbing Like a Pro. A successful man is one who can lay a firm foundation with the bricks others have thrown at him. David Brinkley. If buying right is the most important thing you can do to make money in real estate, getting the rehab right is the second most important part. Buying a property right ensures you'll have lots of equity in the deal. That means a lot of water in the bucket. Doing a rehab right means you won't spill much of that water, and in some cases, you can actually add more water to the bucket through the rehab. With this being such an important part of the BRRRR strategy and investing in real estate overall, I'll go into depth to explain how you can run a great rehab, find great people to do the work, and add value to your property through the process. Like most things, we are going to start at the result we want to end up with, getting good work done quickly for a good price, and work backward. In this chapter, we'll cover how to find all the pieces of the puzzle, how to find the right people, how to organize and understand the information you'll be collecting, and how to hack your rehabs. At this stage, you should start seeing patterns in how you find a great contractor in the same way you find a great deal finder. This is a great example of how a skill you developed in one aspect of BRRRR will help you in others, and how success tends to compound on itself to build more success in your business. Finding a rockstar contractor or handyman. In my personal investing career, I've had to build teams in several different markets throughout the United States. Having had to find my core four in four different markets has given me a lot of experience and frustration when it comes to learning what works, what doesn't, and why. Now that I've repeated this process several times over, I've gotten a pretty good idea of what to do when I move to a new market and need to find and build a whole new team. Whether you're starting this process in the city you live in or the other side of the country, you'll find the process is exactly the same. Finding talent is finding talent, and it doesn't matter where you are. Talent always acts the same. Teaching yourself how to recognize talent, treat talent, and attract talent is what will make your job as an investor easier and more enjoyable. Understanding that surrounding yourself with talent will create success rather than trying to do everything yourself is crucial. How I found my most recent contractor. In 2017, I was excited, discouraged, and frustrated. From 2013 to 2016, I had been buying property in Arizona with moderate success. I had a team in place, a terrific agent, and a rock star contractor. My contractor was so good and so affordable that I actually started looking for work for him to do that I didn't even need. I honestly realized if I had him put in granite countertops and tile floors for the few thousand dollars he charged me, it was worth skipping on a year's cash flow to add so much more value to my properties and increases in future rent. I began adding bedrooms onto properties and learning how to see these properties from a contractor's point of view. When I added bathrooms to properties, I could see how they had to draw up schematics for the plumbing, electrical, and windows. This experience helped me see the importance of hiring an outstanding contractor and gave me a newfound appreciation for them and the impact they could have on my business. Everything was going great, except for one thing. Arizona had become too expensive to find, buy, and hold property. All I could do was flip, and that wasn't really my goal. My goal was to build up a portfolio of single-family houses and hold them for years. As I continually looked for the kind of deals that would provide me the ROI I wanted, my discouragement grew while my success rate plummeted. Arizona home prices had climbed too high. Around this time, I found a wholesaler in Florida who was finding good deals. This wholesaler put me in touch with a lender who would underwrite me, and just like that, I had the two toughest pieces of my investing puzzle handed to me. It was just that simple. I was back in business. I knew I could get started investing in Florida and find deals good enough to dive in. While the deals were great, my process wasn't. Not yet, at least. I didn't have a rockstar contractor or property manager yet. It was apparent that not having a great contractor was costing me a lot of money, at least compared to the Arizona guy I had. I set out to make it a top priority to find one. I started off doing the same things I had done in California and Arizona, looking for agents, talking to other investors, and networking with property managers. I found a few contractors that were pretty good, but no one that was great. When I realized I needed more contractors to choose from, I went to my property manager and told them I needed bids for all my rehabs. For every single house I bought and needed to fix up, I told them I wanted 5 contractors to provide bids on each job, and I would pay them $50 a bid. To some, this might seem like a waste of money. Spending an unnecessary $250 per job seems imprudent on its face. But I knew one great contractor would save me 10 times that on the first job they worked on. Over 10 jobs, it would be 100 times that. Not only did this technique end up saving me money, it also saved me the time of having to send copious numbers of emails to other people asking for contractor referrals. By having my PM do it for me, I got myself out of the job. All they had to do was go to the list of vendors they had and sent 5 new ones to each job. This gave me 5 new bids for each project, 5 new contractors to talk to, and new opportunities to find my next rock star. Previously, I had been taking as few as 2 bids. Upping my number to 5 increased my odds dramatically. It wasn't long before I found a contractor with a professional demeanor whose prices were coming in way below most others. It wasn't just that he was the most inexpensive, because several other contractors were close to his prices. It was more the impressiveness of the whole picture. His bids were delivered in a professional-looking manner, exactly how I had requested. When I reached out to him and discussed rehab options, he was always weighing the pros and cons of each option and trying to find a solution that was best for my situation, not just easiest for him. I immediately loved this, because it's the same method I use with my real estate clients. When I'm representing someone, I ask a lot of questions to learn the most about their situation, weigh the available options, and use my experience to provide them with the best solution for them. I know my stuff, so I do this boldly and confidently. This contractor approached me the same way. He shot down my ideas he knew wouldn't work, he supported the ideas that would, and he presented me with options I hadn't considered. This was what I needed. I'm a decently smart dude, but my goal is to always surround myself with people smarter than me. This contractor was clearly smarter and more experienced than me in the area where I needed him to be, my rehabs. Why was he so good? He was also an investor and used these same principles in his own investing. It was at this point I realized I should start targeting members of my core four that were also investors. This became a game changer. By surrounding myself with experts in their field, real rock stars who also invested themselves, I began to grow my business exponentially. Not only were my jobs getting done well, but I was learning incredibly fast from these people who knew more than I did. In fact, I learned so much, I can now write a book about these topics without ever having had to swing a hammer at one of my properties. Not even once. Everything was going great, and I was able to scale my portfolio at a rapid rate. But just when I hit full swing, some bad news came crashing down. My contractor called me, told me he was sorry, but that he was firing me and would no longer work on my projects any longer. Just like that, all the work I had done to find a rock star, train a rock star, and work with a rock star was gone. In one phone call. I'll be honest, my initial reaction was to say, "You'll regret this one!" Luckily, I was getting effective coaching at the time and was learning all about how we need to bring value to others before we can expect them to bring value to us. This caused me to stop in my tracks, take a deep breath, tell the contractor I'd call him back, and hang up. I took a day to think about what I was going to do and say, and called him back the next afternoon with a clear head. The first thing I asked was, "Why?" in a non-accusatory manner. I genuinely wanted to know what I had done. It turned out I hadn't done anything at all. The contractor was smart and had two sets of crews. One was reliable, well-paid, and easy to work with. This was the crew they would send to do jobs on primary residences where customers would pay more for a better overall experience. The other crew that he was using on my jobs was newer, less experienced, and less reliable. He could pay them less and use guys from the good crew to supervise their work to make sure it was done well. By organizing things this way, he was able to keep his costs super low and pass those costs on to me. The problem was, it was guys from this crew that were causing him all his problems. All of his headaches, but very little of his profits, were coming from this aspect of his business, and he realized he had to make a tough business decision and dissolve that side of the business. That's why he had fired me. Once I heard the story, I was sympathetic of his situation. I had no idea any of that was going on, and I realized he was probably losing money for quite some time just trying to keep my projects going. While listening to him talk, I realized I had the solution to his problem, and I could provide expertise for him, just as he had for me with rehab solutions. At Keller Williams Realty, we get good training about how to find, recognize, hire, and train talent. This is where I get a lot of the tactics I use to build up teams in my real estate investing business. I explained the whole philosophy of rock stars, no rock stars, to the contractor. Turns out, the contractor was getting his hire leads for his new crew from the other guys on his staff. The same guys that did shoddy work, were unreliable and full of issues, were recommending their buddies to come work for him. Because this contractor was growing so fast and taking on so many new jobs, he wasn't paying as much attention to who he hired. Because he didn't have a position to hire, train, and supervise these guys, he was just using workers from the other side of the business, no one was accountable for their performance. It was zero surprise to me why he was having trouble with his team. Some small changes in his hiring process produced some very big results in his company, and 2 weeks later, he called me up and said he'd love to start doing jobs for me again with his crew that was running much smoother. Now, this is a really neat ending to what could have been a disastrous story. These are all skills, concepts, and ideas you can replicate in your own business and have the same success. Recognizing patterns to success. After having put teams together in several markets, I learned a lot. Through the process, I was able to see what consistently worked, what never worked, and what was worth trying that either did or didn't pay off. As I look back, I realize I was recognizing patterns in my process that led to successful outcomes. Isolating the actions that brought me success allowed me to replicate those actions, and repeating them led me to perfecting them. The Burr process allows you to get the repetitions you'll need to accomplish the same. Whenever you finish a project or complete a goal, it's a great idea to debrief the process. This simply means looking back at what you did and making notes about what went right and what went wrong. Debriefing helps you recognize what you did successfully so you can repeat it. Look back at all the most important parts of your investing world. Where did you find your best deals? Where did you meet your best team members? Who taught you the most? Find the answers to these questions, then start asking yourself what patterns emerge from the answers. Once you see them, immediately start looking for ways to implement these patterns of success to the different areas of your business. You should experience a much shorter learning curve and get better results that flood in much faster than before. Recognizing that rock stars know rock stars gave me the idea to start having a really good property manager get referrals for me to interview, rather than do it myself. This led to an excellent contractor, which allowed me to buy more deals, which put me in touch with even more rock stars. If you embrace this concept, you can expect to see the same results. Make top priorities a top priority. When I started investing in Florida, I quickly realized I needed a top talent contractor to take me to the next level. I was losing money on every deal I did with mediocre talent. This motivated me to come up with the plan to have my property manager get me at least 5 bids for each project so I could increase the number of people I was interviewing. Truth be told, there were hundreds of things I could have been doing instead. There's always something that can be done that will take up our time. Scrolling through Zillow, reading inspirational Instagram quotes, perusing Yahoo News, reading real estate articles. You get the point. In this instance, I was able to recognize what my top priority should be and actually make it my top priority. This led me to getting the result I wanted much faster and my business growing much quicker as a result. Take a second and ask yourself how many things you do in a day that give you zero result. Clearing your unread email list to zero, scrolling through Facebook, responding to text messages from people who bring you no value, watching TV shows that do nothing to help you achieve your goals. Every day we waste the majority of our time. Why not make an effort to have at least one priority? One that you make a priority and pursue every day in the middle of all that wasted time. It's easy to get seduced by the false notion of productivity that checking items off a list can provide you. In reality, doing one or two things right will have a much bigger impact than 100 things, if those one or two things are a priority. Understand what your priorities are in your business and watch your business grow. Recognizing talent. In my first conversation with this Florida contractor, I realized he was talented. He knew what he was doing, had good ideas, and shared the vision I had for what we could accomplish. I knew what I was looking for, what I needed, and what it would look like when I found it. Because of this, I recognized immediately the contractor as someone I wanted on my core four. Understanding what talent looks like, making an effort to find it, and recognizing it when you see it are crucial to learn in real estate investing. You can't do everything yourself. And even if you could, it wouldn't be long before you felt burnout from all that work. Finding talented people to help you achieve your goals should be a top priority for you. If you don't know what that looks like, then you found what should be your top priority. Finding talent is no easy feat. It will require a significant amount of work, and it will cost you quite a bit. However, the price you'll pay to work with mediocrity or worse will cost you so much more in the long run. When I hear about new investors who started with a promising future but soured on real estate investing, most of their stories are the same. They had a bad experience with a member of their team and decided real estate investing was just too hard. When I ask where they found the team member, the answer is almost always that it was some form of a referral they did not work hard to get. An investor they didn't know well recommended them, or they got their number from a property manager they weren't even using, or it was the first name in a Google search. When you don't put the time and effort in on the front end to find high-quality candidates, you'll pay for it on the back end through shoddy work, lackluster results, and a terrible experience. When you consider how much there is to gain from investing in real estate, do you really want to risk losing all that because you were too lazy or scared to make looking for a talented team member a priority? Think about this carefully. You, the person reading this, really don't even need to learn how to invest in real estate at all. Theoretically, if you found a rock star for every member of your core four, you could just follow their advice and direction, let them do their thing, and watch as your net worth and passive income grew on its own. Isn't that incredible? If you found a rock star agent who was a guru at finding great deals, a great lender who was funding them, a top-notch contractor to get them rent ready, and a rock-solid property manager who tied all the pieces together, you could literally know nothing about real estate investing and you would still become very wealthy. Why? Because talent on your team is more important than you knowing everything, or knowing anything for that matter.